We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Cameron Wolf.
The hell's that music?
I got five.
Got to pick it up, man.
That's a good song. Don't kill the loonies right here. That's a good song.
All right, sorry.
Cameron Wolf will come on. He'll explain it also. All right, let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sharon. Cameron Wolf from ESPN joins us. Cameron, how'd you like your intro music?
I love it. I love it.
Jeez.
That doesn't know the loonies, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Who are the loonies, man?
The loonies got that song. I got five on it. It's a couple years old, but it's a good song.
All right, jeez.
Don't. That's blasphemy getting on the loonies right now.
Hey, Cam, want to talk to you. I spent a little time talking to NFLPA. I was curious, what's your take on the 18 games once they start bargaining back and forth? Do you think it happens? You think the players want it or they don't want it?
Oh, I think they absolutely don't want it. And I would be surprised if there was any progress made in that way. I talked to the NFLPA director, Demaurius Smith, and he was about as close as a no-go as you can get to those sort of situations. So, you know, I know the revenue and the money is always the most interesting portion of adding games. But from what I was told, the NFLPA's worry is that, hey, you know, yeah, we'll make more money, but it's not good for the players' health and safety. No matter what way you cut it, it's not good. So from that perspective, the players, I don't think they're going to want to give up those two extra games. I don't think there's enough in the bargaining table to give the other way to make it worth it. So, you know, I know the owners have been pushing, the NFL's been pushing since the last CBA for 18 games. And, you know, they're going to have talks this year. They're starting talks on Wednesday about getting the CBA done and getting further along. But the 18-game thing, I think that's just talk at this point. I wouldn't count on that getting much serious discussion as we get along the next couple weeks and months.
What about 17? Is there a chance that these guys just going back and forth and the league knows 18's got no shot with the union but agrees on 17 potentially?
Well, I think 17's got a better chance, but I think, to be honest, the more likely result is they add a playoff game or two before they add regular season games. I know they've been talking about potentially adding another wild card team, given, you know, one team a bye and adding, you know, three opening week playoff games. I know that might be something that, hey, we look at that as an alternative before we go to 18 or 17. I know obviously more games is more revenue, but I'm just not at the point where I think they add more games onto a 16-game season.
Are the Players Association and all the guys involved with it, they got to be happy with what happened with Le'Veon Bell in the offseason and what he did last year now. And then even Antonio Brown kind of dictating what he wanted to do in this upcoming season. Is that something that was talked about with you guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Joe. I think you look at – it all comes down to power. And, you know, everybody wants to have the power, but it depends on who uses their leverage best. And we saw the Le'Veon Bell situation, and everybody had their own opinion on that. But, you know, Demaurius Smith was saying that, hey, they felt like that was the best example of NFL players realizing the strength and value they have and the fact that, hey, if you don't feel like you're getting what you're worth, just sit out. You know, it's hard to say because when those checks aren't clearing, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult, but Le'Veon Bell did it. You know, we just saw Melvin Gordon saying he's asking for a trade if he doesn't get a new deal or he won't come and report. We'll see if he sees that through, but – you know, when you see players start to do that, start to, you know, risk their money to get that security, you see that power and that switches some of the leverage from the owners who have most of it to the players.
I'm not one that would have sat out for $14.6 million.
That's a lot of money.
We don't know if he would.
Me neither, Joe.
I'm from that. Like even after taxes, that's still a nice number that he didn't get. Right. And I don't feel like he made up the money with his new deal. Do you? I know he sat out,
I don't think so. I mean, like honestly, it's his choice. So like, my thing is, it's your money, it's your body.
Right.
If you feel comfortable
True.
With that, if you feel like that was you, that's you. But like, I'm in the same boat with you, Joe. Like, I don't make enough to turn down $14 million. For principle. So he's a better man than me to do that. But like you said, I think that the contract he got wasn't really necessarily what we all thought he was holding out for. But sometimes sometimes you swing and try to go for a home run and you ground it to a fielder's choice.
Yeah.
You gotta take it. You gotta stay on base and keep it moving.
Hey, Cam, real quickly, going back to this preseason, we got the four games. We know them by heart. Zach and I were just talking about them as far as how much the starters play, and the third game is really the dress rehearsal into the second half, and fourth game, nobody plays. None of your key players play. Everybody's out, and it's basically from 50 to 90, maybe 45 to 90 play most of the game and get a chance to play. You think that's going to end up staying that way, or can you see something changing, or are we just going to stick with the four preseason games now that the league all of a sudden is saying, yeah, we don't like this, and we realize our fan base doesn't like it? They should have known before the fan base didn't like it.
Right. You can look at the half-empty stadium and preseason games and realize the fans don't like it.
That's right.
I think from the owner's perspective, I think it'd be hard-pressed for them to lose games if they don't get me back. So it's a give and take, from the players and the owner's perspective. I don't think none of the players really like preseason games. And the owners obviously want it because of the revenue, but they got to realize the fans don't like it either. But I don't see them saying, hey, we'll just give you two preseason games and not getting anything returned.
Oh, yeah. No way that's happening. You're right.
Yeah. So maybe they say, hey, if we get an extra couple playoff games, then maybe we'll take off one or two preseason games. Something changes dramatically and the 17 or 18 game happens, then obviously the preseason would adjust. But if there's no games at it, I think they stay pat with the four preseason games, and we just got to suffer through that that fourth preseason game every year.
What is the NFLPA trying to do with guaranteed money, more guaranteed money for players? I know they're going to try and do whatever they can, especially for the I know that the group between the highest paid players and the rookies and this and that. What are they trying to do? Because, I can only imagine when the NFLPA and Eric Winston and D. Maurice and all these guys see what's happening in the NBA, where all these deals are guaranteed, there's so much money, and they have a bigger league when you look at what it's like in this country, and they don't have half the guaranteed dollars, not even a quarter of the guaranteed dollars that the NBA has. What are they trying to do, if anything?
Yeah, trust me. They've heard all the talk about the NBA. You hear every offseason around this time, NFL players looking at, guys like Tobias Harris getting $170 million. You get other guys who you ain't even heard of getting $100 million, and they're all guaranteed. So, that's the next push. The crazy thing that a lot of people forget is that there's no guaranteed contracts in the NBA CBA either. It's just something that was negotiated by agents and players, and it's been accepted as sort of the status quo. So I guess the main thing that they're looking to do is, because you can't necessarily write guaranteed contracts to the CBA, you can increase the salary cap minimums. Right now, that each team is forced to spend 89% of its salary cap money. You can increase that number, maybe get it to 95%, 97%, and then that forces more money to be spent, and therefore players can use their leverage and say, hey, since there's more money to be spent, I can force you to give me more guaranteed if you want to get me. So I think that's one step. And then another step is shortening the rookie contract. We're seeing this with Melvin Gordon right now, but you've got a lot of players who outplay their contract and they're into their third, fourth, fifth season, and they're still under team control. And of course, teams like that because that's cheaper labor. But if you shorten those deals and they become 3-year deals instead of 4-year deals, and 4th-year options instead of 5th-year options, you get guys to free agency earlier, and that gives that middle class a chance to get paid sooner before their career runs out.
That's going to be a big one right there. I think you're onto something right there. They're going to definitely try to do that. How about the franchise tag, by the way? Where does that fit in his priority list?
Yeah, I actually think that's lower than a lot of people think, because I think that the goal of the franchise tag when it was changed last year is to get teams to realize that, hey, if they're going to want a player to be on their team long term, they're going to pay them rather than go to the franchise tag. And I think this year we only saw Jadeveon Clowney as the only player who actually is going to play on the franchise tag, mostly because the cap number is so huge. You know, you've got a guy chewing up $19 million, $20 million of your cap space. That's pretty cumbersome to build a team. So I think that the way the franchise tag is working is probably still not ideal for players. But the 1 year, you know, top five, top 10 salary for players outside of every position except running back makes it really difficult for teams to build a roster with that franchise player. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of tweaks. Maybe they try to get that number up. I think one thing that we may see that we're seeing a little bit with Clowney is that they may try to figure out how to do the positions a little better now that we're sort of a little bit more hybrid with our, you know, pass rushing positions and you know, coverage positions. Maybe you see some defensive back positions or edge positions rather than the true defensive end and linebacker positions. And maybe that gets players like Clowney, who I know, you know, feels like he's a defensive end, who makes more money, and the Texans are listing him as a linebacker, that may get him a couple more million. So if any changes with the franchise tag, I see them sort of restructuring how they list positions.
Cam, everybody's going through the hot topics, and with the Dolphins, it always goes back to this quarterback start with a veteran and a young quarterback. Who do you think starts, and if you think that Fitzpatrick starts, how long before Rosen plays?
Yeah, I mean, looking across the NFL, it's crazy to say, but the Dolphins may have the most interesting, you know, training camp battle of the league, because it's one of the few only open quarterback competitions. And I know when we left camp, Josh Rosen said the real battle doesn't start until training camp. And I guess we're going to see how much he's made that jump, because I think we can all conclude at the end of spring workouts, Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like the better quarterback. He looked like the guy who, you know, if you were picking today, would start for the Dolphins, but now Rosen's got another 3 weeks, 4 weeks to prove the Dolphins that he can be the guy. So, you know, from what I've seen so far, I'd say Fitzpatrick is the leader. I'd say that, you know, Rosen's going to have a really, really strong camp to prove otherwise. But you know, we've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick's career, and I think that Josh Rosen's going to start at some point, probably earlier than later. If he doesn't start week one, I know they have an early bye week. I think it's a week five bye. So, you know, even if Ryan Fitzpatrick wins this job week one, I could see Josh Rosen coming in week six, week seven. You know, if the Dolphins get off to like a 1-3 start and they hand Josh Rosen the keys for the rest of the season. So I think you've got to see what you have in him, even if he doesn't win the training camp competition. And I think the Dolphins are gonna give him a chance to, you know, start 8-10, maybe 12 games. To see if they have to draft, you know, Tua or someone else next year.
Cameron, before we let you go, if that's the number one storyline at camp, what's the second? In your mind, what's the next story to look at when camp starts?
I think you can look at what they're doing with their defensive backs. I know we looked at the Rashad Jones issue for a while and seeing how he is with the team. But I'm interested to see how all this shakes out. You still got three safeties, essentially, in Minkah Fitzpatrick, Rashad Jones, and T.J. McDonald. You've got to figure out how to fit them on the field. I know they're trying Bobby McCain at safety. Then you've got Xavien Howard and a whole conglomerate of other corners who you're not sure if can play or not. So I'm interested to see how they work, particularly with their formations, how many defensive backs do they have on the field on a given time, and who's starting, who's on the bench, how do they work through all the egos back there. That for me is probably the biggest and most interesting part of, you know, training camp in the preseason.
Put Minkah at corner. Just put him at corner.
Well,
right now.
Maybe that's the answer. We'll see.
That ain't gonna happen.
No? Okay. Cameron, thanks for your time, buddy.
Thanks, Cam.
I think that's
That's Cameron Wolf from ESPN. Covers the Dolphins on a daily basis and had a nice article about sitting down with the NFLPA and DeMora Smith.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.